break forth into singing, for the King has redeemed Israel, and the song of the ages must return and continually swell, for the glory of the story must belong to the song, and the ancients are youthful as they come singing on, for the time is arriving in full circling arc, and the like a dart to the mark, break forth into singing, set the time all a-winging. Lo, his name is now ringing as we come singing on. Break forth into singing, for the vanguard of singers must be in the front of the battle to assure of a blessed victory. For the singing on, for two armies are joining from the earth and above, clothed in life most abundant and invested with love. Break forth round the earth, truth is flinging, your salvation is bringing, as we come singing on. Break forth into singing, our Redeemer appeareth indeed. The song of the ages greets our King on his white gallant steed, for the timing of the rhyming to the strong is the song, and the weak as they come singing on, and the melody vibrates through the innermost soul, and the spirit rejoices while the body stayed whole. Break forth into singing, for new knowledge is bringing, and his own he is kinging, as they come singing on.
morning. This is February 22nd, 1981. And we want to put a message on this tape this morning for you, which we trust will be encouraging to you. But first of all, let me say we appreciate Judy Parker up in Grants Pass singing these two new songs for you, which we trust has been a blessing to you. 3 weeks ago today, on a Sunday morning, I stood fixing my hair, and all of a sudden it was as if an instantaneous blow in the spirit hit me. There is no way to describe it in words whatsoever. It was such an onslaught of an unseen power that I felt like I had to get out of the house even, that everything was closing in on top of me. And I remember I went out of the house twice that morning, and I found myself standing in the power of his name against this onslaught. It seemed that it would take my very life if it possibly could. And I stood and I kept saying, in the name of Yahshua, in the name of Yahshua. And then in the midst of it all, after this had gone on for quite a period of time, suddenly the scripture came to me, "Therefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." There wasn't any other way for me to go but forward. I felt like Israel, the Egyptians behind me, the sea before me. And yet the command was, go forward. Now I know I'm not alone in these experiences, for we're all being pressed out of measure insomuch that we despair even of life. But truly, we are at a time, not only in the history of the world, but in the history of God's people, in which we are being pressed through, and we must go through. There is no other way. Let me read you this scripture in the 14th chapter of Exodus. "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, or Yahweh, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you. Hold your peace." Now this was a wonderful thing that Moses said unto Israel. And yet listen to the next part of it. "And the Lord," or Yahweh, "said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Moses had said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But Yahweh spoke and he said, tell them to go forward. Not stand still, go forward. Moses' words were wise, for when we don't know what else to do, we stand still. But then comes the command out of the heavens, go forward. How could they go forward? Behind them were the Egyptians. Before them was the sea. It looked like there was no way out. But in the midst of it, there was not only the command to move forward, but there was also the means whereby they could move forward. First of all, it says the angel that was before them went behind them and stood between them and the Egyptians. Do you feel today that your leadings are nil? There is nothing in front of you directing the way? Of course not. We're at that point now when the forces that have been in front of us, leading us, have now been removed to behind us. They are backing us up, not just leading the way, backing us up. And the command of the Most High is that we move forward, leading or no leading. The leadings now are not something without, something that you see with your eyes, something you follow. The directives are from within, and it is as if we are thrust out into a no man's land, and we become the force that moves forward at his command. So many people are saying, but I don't know what the will of the Father is. I have no direction. I don't know what to do. We hear this from every side.
Of course not.
Because we have been leading, the things that have led us are behind us, backing us up, and we are being thrust out. If He is ever going to bring us to the place where we are leaders, then we have to be put through this process whereby we are willing to leave the leadings of the past behind us and move forward at the inward directive. We become the leading.
You say that sounds kind of sacrilegious.
Well, after all, He is trying to bring us to being. Not being something, but to being. All right, He said, go forward. But Moses, you lift up your rod, the very rod that had performed miracles in the land of Egypt. Lift it up and cut the sea asunder. We are faced with a Red Sea that it looks impossible to go through, but we must go through. Did you ever notice the use of the word M-U-S-T in the scriptures? It says this mortal must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. There are some very pertinent things in the scriptures concerning that little word M-U-S-T. And we are at the point now where we must go forward. There's no other way. We can't go back. There's no way out. There's no way back. There's no other way but through. As I pondered this scripture, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, I thought, what does that sea represent? What is it that we are faced with today? What is it that there must be a path made through that we come safely through unto the other side? I found that the word red or Red Sea is not just red, but it's reed or reedy. It is a reedy sea, and it's the reeds from which the papyrus comes that they make paper of, and this speaks to us of writing. Today, there are so many voices crying out in the world. There are so many messages being given, and it is true, there is much truth going forth, but it is a day of constant sifting and discerning. He said that we are to be a full age and knowing how to discern both good and evil. We are faced today with a multitude of words, both spoken and written, and yet we must go through it in the pure truth and by the pure truth as revealed unto us by His Spirit. Then I thought about Moses in the bulrushes or in the reeds. It was a hiding place for a new life. His mother was trying to protect him from being killed, and she built the little ark of bulrushes and put him in the flags or the reeds in the water for his protection, a hiding place. We too have had to have a hiding place, but now we are being brought forth from the hiding, and we are having to pass through the obstacles and be brought into the greater things that He has promised us. Too many are still hiding and want to hide, but the time has come when we can't just hide any longer. We must come forth. We must come through this thing. Then I thought about the scripture concerning Jonah. He had been swallowed by the whale. And he gives the account that the weeds, or literally the reeds, were wrapped about his head. He said he went down into the belly of hell, and there the reeds were wrapped around his head. My, how many of us have been cast into the depths of hell in the days of our preparation, and the weeds have been wrapped around our heads, our thinking, our minds have been plagued with so many things. I wouldn't even begin to put into words some of the thoughts that have gone through my mind in the days of the pressure and the trial. And so it is that our minds have been attacked by all kinds of forces, and yet there is no other way but through. We press through this condition of a mind that is battered and hounded and hit at by every opposing force. We must go forward. There is no other way. Then you take the word red, and you find that there are several interesting things in the scripture. It talks about a red beast in the book of Revelation. And I'm inclined to believe that this is communism, but at any rate, it represents a political situation, and a situation that is dominated by evil forces. Today, we are faced with the sweeping force of communism, not just in Russia. It's all over the earth. It would inundate everything. We are faced with it. May I pause here to tell you a dream that I had many years ago. And in this dream, I knew that I was in communistic country. And I was looking for a way out. And I didn't know how to get out. And it was dark. And there was a tall man came to me in just a regular business suit. And he looked at me very knowingly. And he knew that I wanted out. And he said to me, "Follow me into the garden." The words speak to me deeply of our precious Savior when he went into the garden, where he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the earth. By the way, let me say that the sweating of blood is for the redemption of the earth and for creation. The first part of his sacrifice was the sweating of blood upon the earth. The second part of the ministry of his blood was the shedding of blood, which is for the remission of sin. And the third part was the sprinkling of his blood, even as in the Old Testament they sprinkled the blood upon the people and upon the book and so forth. And this is for life. Now, returning to the dream, this man said, "Follow me into the garden." And he, being a tall man, was taking long strides, and I was practically running to try and keep up with him. Then the dream suddenly changed, and I found myself in a very large room, sort of like a gymnasium. That's the nearest I can describe it. But there were no seats in it. It was totally vacant. And I was standing there in this vacant room. There was a door that led out, but it was a locked door. And the glass in it even was reinforced so that it could not be broken. And I couldn't get out that way. But as I looked out, I saw there was a double row of armed and bayoneted soldiers. And I knew that when I did get out, I had to pass between this row of soldiers, and beyond them was a fence with a great gap in it, and I knew that beyond that was free land. But as I stood there wondering how I would get out, from the opposite side of this room, there came officers of some kind with a lot of teenagers. And then I thought, yes, these were teenagers, immature ones, and they had a child's comprehension of the truth of our Savior. They wanted me to take with me out into a different realm their interpretation of things. And then I thought to myself, yes, all I've had is a child's interpretation so far, and I need more than that too. And the Spirit began to speak to me, to lay the Bible down. And I'd say, "Well, I have a certain way of reading. Up to that point, I had read it through 24 times, and I was on my 25th time, ready to get through it the 25th time. And the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with my heart and said, lay it down. I said, but I can't. I can't. I can't. I kept saying, I can't. And then he spoke to me, and he said, can't you trust me where and when to read and study? And I finally said, yes. And I literally took my Bible, closed it, and laid it on the stand beside my bed. And I said, there it is, Father. And there I leave it. You direct me now how to come into a fuller understanding of what is written herein. And so it was that from that time on, he began to open to me scriptures in a new way, in a living way. But through the years from that time on, I have wondered, when is that time when the door will be opened and I will begin to pass through this row of armed and bayoneted soldiers? It has not been until of late that I have realized we're at that point now. We are passing through, and the jabs are coming from all of these opposing forces. But like children of Israel at the Red Sea, there is no other way but through. And so it is, we're passing through the barbs, the jabs, the swords, injuries are coming to us. We are being hit on every side and in every part of us. We are being thrust at. But stay with it. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And so it is. We are moving forward. Yes, the Red Sea speaks of these opposing communistic forces. And I'm not just talking about Russia. I repeat that again. I am talking about the spirit that is behind all of this thing. Then in the book of Revelation, you have a woman dressed in scarlet, and she is riding upon the red beast. There you have the religious angle of it. She's the mother of harlots. And that she is the religious Babylonian system. And this thing has been so entwined in us. And it has become such a part of us in years past that though we have moved out of Babylon, we're still trying to get Babylon out of us. So there's a political angle that's against us. There's a religious angle that is against us. Then in the 12th chapter of Revelation, there's a great red dragon that is called the old serpent and the devil and Satan, and he is after the woman who is bringing forth the man-child. Now as you begin to look at these words, he's called the old serpent. Now the red dragon is called the old serpent. The serpent was the first one who tried to mongrelize the races. Integration is taking over in such a diabolical way in the world that they would destroy the Adamic race if it were possible. We are up against the spirit that is behind this. Then he is also called the devil, which means the accuser. We are being accused of everything. From heresy to racism, you just name it, we are being accused. These are the forces through which we are passing. He is also called Satan, which means the opposer, the one who stands before us and would oppose every step we take. These are the forces that are represented by the Red Sea. Then we use the expression today, oh, I see red. This means anger. We are being faced with anger within and without. I'll never forget a few years ago. I'm going to tell something on myself. A lady came to visit me, and she was a heavyset lady, too. And I say too, because weight is something I have thought all my years, all through my life. And she was telling about being in a meeting, and a man made a remark. He said, behind every fat person is an angry person. And when she said, I thought, oh, that's not true. That surely is not true. But as the days went on, the father used those few words to continue to speak to me. And as days would go by, things would rise up in me. And when years passed, I would have called it maybe resentment. I would have maybe called it being hurt. There were a lot of things I might have named it. But I began to analyze, and I finally said, that's anger. Then something else would rise up. And I'd analyze, and I'd say, but that's anger. And I still find things rising up in me, and I say, but that is anger. So it is anger without from others and other forces, and anger rising up within us. And we are having to literally come through this thing. Seeing red in Red Sea. Then you have the picture of Esau, who wanted the red cottage to satisfy the flesh. They're all the forces of the flesh that are against us in this hour. And sometimes we wonder, when will we ever get to the end of our own flesh and its desires? This is our Red Sea. Then he goes on to say that Esau is Edom. And the Edomites were always at war with the Israelites. Edom means red. Of course we're up against these forces of the flesh today. Both our flesh and the flesh of others. But lastly, I want to mention that the Red Sea refers to blood. Are we not a sea of blood? And what about this blood that is coursing in our veins? We are faced today with great and tremendous changes in our blood. This body cannot be changed without the changing of the blood. The blood is undergoing some drastic alteration. There are times when we wonder what is wrong with us physically. And if you go to a doctor so often, they say, I can't find anything wrong. I've gone to doctors in the past to see if I could find out, and there was no answer. And I ended up just struggling through myself. Yes, there are drastic changes taking place. The blood is formed in the marrow of the bones. This is where the red cells are formed. And if the marrow of the bone goes wrong, then your whole blood system goes wrong. Go back to the account in Ezekiel of the boneyard. Wow, here was all of these bones, and you'll find that Yahweh spoke to Ezekiel and he said, can these bones live? And Ezekiel answered, Lord God, thou knowest. He didn't know if they could live or not. Then there came a shaking of the bones, and bone came to bone. Then upon the bones came up the tendons, and then the flesh, and then the skin. Surely the work of changing and alteration was beginning in the very marrow of the bone. We speak about our bones aching, our bones hurt, feels like arthritis, feels like rheumatism. We're lame. There's a change going on in the marrow of the bone, and therefore the bones are being drastically affected. And I speak out of personal experience and out of the experience of many others of this form. The bones are indeed being affected because the blood is formed in the marrow. Then it begins to work on out into the sinews that are upon the bones. And the word sinews just don't mean tendons. It also means nerves. Was there ever a time when the nerves of people are as what is the word I want? Irritated? Upset? Frazzled? Any word that you can come up with, it describes the condition of the nerves. The nerves are dependent upon the blood also. The bones, the blood, the nerves, the flesh. We you ever feel like your flesh hurts?
It's all affected by the changing blood. And then lastly, the skin comes up upon it.
Of course, the whole being
is being affected by the changing of the blood.
Blood is concealed light, and in the purposes of our Heavenly Father, shall the blood eventually revert back to its light estate. It will be lightened. In fact, one time he spoke to me and he said, the serous part of the blood would be speeded up to a new speed. Sometimes I feel like it's so speeded up that instead of it going clockwise, it's going counterclockwise. Everything seems to be fighting almost within it. Stay with it. He said, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And we are going forward, even into the Red Sea, or the place of the changing of the blood. So it is, we are faced, it seems, with almost an insurmountable problem, an insurmountable opposition. But when he says go forward, he also makes the means whereby we can. The scripture says here that he sent a strong east wind, and it opened up a path in the sea. If you will look at a map of the Red Sea, you will find that an east wind blowing, a strong east wind blowing, would have been blowing right directly against the children of Israel as they tried to go forward. But let me say that the word for wind in the Hebrew is the same word that is used for spirit. And it is called a strong or a mighty east wind. And the word east means fore, or that which is in front of you. When the people of that time figured their direction, they figured it as if standing facing the east or the sun rising. It meant that the west was at their back, the north was at their left hand, and the south was at their right hand. So it is that there is an operation, a mighty operation of the Spirit of Yahweh. It's a mighty thing that is going on. And this is the thing that will open up a path for us in the midst of all of these opposing forces and these things that we are facing. He is opening up by the Spirit of the dawning or the breaking of the day. He is opening up a path in the sea that is before us. It is the operation of His Spirit that will make a way through the religious and the political Red Sea, that will make a way for us through the voices that are calling in these days, through the powers of the Red Dragon, through the powers of the rising up of the flesh, through the powers of the rising up of emotions, and through the changing of the blood. He is making a path for us, and we shall go through dry shod. Now the Egyptians tried the same thing. Mind you, the Egyptians were mighty in learning. They were mighty in medicine in their day, but they were also mighty in bondage. And these forces are right on our heels. And yet you find the children of Israel crying out and saying, why didn't you leave us in Egypt? At least there were graves to be buried in Egypt. Are you going to take us out into this wilderness and let us die? We're back to the subject of life and death then. And this is a life and death struggle. You go back to the Egyptians and you can be buried in Egypt. But they were afraid that they would be taken out and buried in the wilderness. We're not looking for that. We're looking for life, not a burying place. We're looking for life, immortality, the springing forth of His life within us. Once the path was opened up by the Spirit of Yahweh, the Egyptians said, then we'll go in too. Let me tell you, there are going to be a lot of those that are going to try to follow through on the heels of the Israelites as they move on in to that which they have been promised. You say, is that possible? Well, you recall the words of our Savior when He said, he that climbeth up any other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The inference is that there are those who will climb up into this high spiritual state, but they can't remain there. And why can't they remain? Because the nature has never been changed. They climb there, but they are thieves and robbers. The nature is still the same, and they can't remain there. The Egyptians were ashamed to do the same thing. They were going through the path that the Spirit had opened up. They were coming in there. And it says that the Lord looked through in the morning watch. He looked through the cloud and He saw the Egyptians down in the Red Sea just heading right after Israel. And it says He took off their chariot wheels and they dragged them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Yahweh for Yahweh fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Their power of motivation, their wheels were pulled off right in the Red Sea. They could not go forward any further. They had wheels up to that point, but at that point they were pulled off. And those that try to come through this miraculous deliverance that is being made, the way that is being made for Israel, are going to come up against the power of the Most High, and He shall stop them in their tracks. And when Israel arrived on the other side of the Red Sea, then did He speak unto Moses and said, lift up your hand over the waters now and let it come back again. And the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. There is an interesting point here that I'd like to bring out. And that is when Israel went out of Egypt, they went out because the Lord had passed over them at the time the firstborn were slain in Egypt. And the reason He passed over was because of the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Let me bring it down to today. When He sees the change of blood within us, He will pass over. But there was another Passover in the 50th chapter of Exodus, and in the great song of deliverance we find, fear and dread shall fall upon them, by the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Yahweh, till thy people pass over, which thou hast purchased. There is a sense in which He passes over us when He sees the blood. But there is another sense in which we pass over unto the other side through the sea of blood, through the Red Sea of communism, religious systems, and all of these other things that we have mentioned. He passes over, but we likewise pass over. There is a dual Passover. What more can I say to you? We are in days of tremendous pressure. We are in days the like of which I have never witnessed before. There are forces seen and unseen. But let me remind you that the command was given, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. There's no way out. There's no way back. There is no other way but through. May these words